You're listening to episode 192 of Women Worldwide. How does an MD and a PhD transition to VC and healthcare innovation? Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. We really appreciate how much you're helping us expand our network by sharing the stories of the incredible people who come on this show. They're creating impact and making a difference in this world. So with that said, let's get right to today's topic, which is healthcare innovation. All right. There is innovation all around us, and it is in every single field. My guest today is super interesting because you're going to hear all about a medical doctor who became a venture capitalist in healthcare, and now she's helping women to overcome hurdles they face for their startup endeavors, and she's helping them innovate too. Joining me on the show is Rafael Torjman. And Rafael is an MD, she's a PhD, and a venture capitalist specializing in life sciences investments with more than 16 years of experience. She's the founder and chairman of the WITH organization. It's a not-for-profit member organization for women executives in the biotech, digital health, medtech, and pharmaceutical verticals. She's also going to share her latest venture, and it's a new adventure called Jado. Having experienced the industry as a practitioner and an observer, Rafael's motivation is to empower entrepreneurial women who are looking to innovate improvements in healthcare globally. And we need that. But I've said enough about Rafael. So now it's time she shares her story with you. Rafael, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. So happy to be there with you.
Oh, well, I'm super happy to have you on the show. I just gave a lot of information about you, but it's probably best if maybe, you know, the passion certainly comes through for healthcare and helping to improve the lives of patients and supporting women's innovation. But how do you actually move from medical doctor to venture capitalist? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the backstory.
Yes, with pleasure. Actually, I've started as a medical doctor, specializing in hemato-oncology and internal medicine. So what it means is that it's very much about taking care of patients with leukemia. So very, you know, very heavy, complicated disease where you are in contact with not only the patient, but with the family, with the, from the science to the improvement of treatment. And it's during these years at the public hospital here in Paris, France, that I realized that really my driver since ever is really human health and patient. So from these years, I wanted to do more for the patient and started to do some science to understand also the biology and the cells and the science behind the patient, and also starting to touch about innovation. So I've made a PhD and a postdoc in molecular biology and immunology during 4 years with the French NIH, which is named INSERM, and publishing in peer-reviewed journal. But I wanted to translate that into a more innovation. At that time, I was supposed to come back to the hospital, making a classical career there and growing there. But I heard, so it was 17 years ago, I heard that already at that time, 45% of the drugs sold by the pharma, so innovative drugs, were coming from the small startup and biotech. So curious of that, I met different people and then investment people, venture capitalists, And I got a proposal from one of them to join as a medic. And it's how I joined the investment world.
That's amazing. Really curious, Raphael. Do you see a big difference between innovation in healthcare when you first started out many years ago versus kind of what's happening now in the profession?
Yeah, so when I joined the investment world, so I joined as an analyst, so Finova Partners, who is one of the leading firms in BC in Europe, but as well in the US. And I joined as an analyst, grew up into the firm as a partner and then managing partner and deputy CEO of the firm within 9 years. And I stayed until 15 years in that firm before coming to make my new, build my new adventure. And during that 15 years at Sofinova and in this world, learning obviously a lot, I discovered that innovation is all about the future growth in any field. But particularly for healthcare, you need really to have all the elements of the ecosystem to improve and get the best drugs with the best benefit for the patient. And that is very hard. You could have innovation in very good hands of scientists, but then to translate it into product for commercialization, then it's really many steps. It's long, it's complicated. It's why you need many, many resources and different type of people. And it's how actually I realize that we need women to do that because they are a fantastic accelerator for that. So, you know, coming to Wiz then. But before that, just to let you know, in terms of facts, in terms of improvement, when I said that 17 years ago, when I started this VC world, I was hearing that 45% of the drugs sold by the pharma were coming from the small biotech and startup. Today, 17 years after, is more than 70%, 70.
Oh, it's a big jump.
Yeah, big jump, because in the small biotech startup, you are much more productive in innovation. And it's a need without end. You have still today 3/4 of the disease, according to WHO, that are without any treatment at all, not even available, not even need of improvement. In parallel of this big jump, you have big innovation, thanks for the patient, but we are not yet there with many disease unserved. But you have particularly in oncology with what is going on with immuno-oncology, so using immune system to fight against cancer cells. That is a big, one of the big revolution going on.
So, Raphael, when you were making that transition to become on the investment side, were there other women who were also doing that? Or did you sort of feel like you were a lone fish in the pond?
So clearly not a lot of women. And still today, after 17 years, when you look at numbers in BC firm, only 7% of the partner are women, backing only 2% of women in the startup they are backing. So it's really indeed not very, women friendly or let's say women oriented. Nevertheless, so I didn't think about that when I joined. I realized that afterwards, particularly when you have to fight and to grow, but also realizing that women, we are an incredible accelerator and vector, particularly for medical innovation. Because since ever we've been involved in, family long time ago, actually 80% of the decision of healthcare in a family are taken by women. And then you have more and more women involved up to, business and showing better innovation. So I hope that I've been part of this wave, getting more and more women. We are not yet there with the numbers I just gave you. It's only 7% in fund. So yes, it was weird, but I didn't pay attention. I wanted just to learn and to use this investment part to drive benefit for the patient, as well as return, obviously, for investment, but that is going really together.
Absolutely. How did this transition into With? Let's talk about With, and then let's talk about your new adventure, Jado.
So With, indeed, it was, nine years ago, I observed finally that indeed we were not enough women in the industry. And on the other hand, with a really key role in different parts of the ecosystem. And I wanted to put women together with the first event So it was really a test 9 years ago. And instead of getting just investment people and women, I wanted really to have women very experienced to share their experience in the different parts, from the different parts of the ecosystem, such as you have, you know, scientists, physicians, investment people, but as well patent lawyer. That's a very, very important part in development and success of patent in our industry and in the innovation, obviously, including people from the reimbursement, women from the science. So it was really the putting women together to do 1 + 1 = 3. So it is not to talk about equality, and it's indirect. It's really to promote talented women, first because they are, again, an incredible accelerator for helping patients and human health to do much more and in a collaborative manner. And second, because we have to, I think it's through our success as women that we have to take our right place. So that's a combination of both, but going in the same direction, again, for making success in human health. So we started with this event, who was a test, and even the name was thought at the same time with, for women innovating together in healthcare. It was an event in Paris, the first one, with 50 women, but right away, very much international, global, with women from US, Europe, but also Brazil, China now. And because healthcare is very much about being global, you know, health is for everyone in the world. You don't have so many diseases that are from a particular part of the globe. So we met, and it was really big success. And then from that, we have built with, today we are 500 women all over the world. It's not that so many that will grow in terms of numbers, you know, quality. And I call them, I define in terms of criteria to be women, but that are accomplished and generous. So really sharing between each of them and all of them during these networking events, but also in between. And we have some example of acceleration, but it was not enough. When I say acceleration, is that some of the women who met during this WIS event then work together and in the benefit of the patient indirectly through companies or projects. But my dream since the beginning is that at some point, as you have every, you know, part of the ecosystem, from the science to the commercialization, going through the patent and development, it will be that at some point we have one project, one thing, which is, you know, could be diagnostic, could be e-health, could be drug, but that something will come out of the group and will be developed up to the patient or for the benefit of human health. And even though there are some example of acceleration, it was not enough. So, you know, I decided to do more, and that's part of my new adventure.
Oh, please tell us more about your new adventure.
So actually, this new adventure is named Jeito, J-E-I-T-O, who is coming from the Portuguese Brazilian, meaning where there is a will, there is a way.
I like that.
Okay, thanks. And Jeito is two important parts. One is a company that will invest with a very new way, rethinking how to invest in biotech to do much better than what I've done in the past, even, you know, doing big money and also big companies, successful biotech, help to build this biotech. So how to do differently, rethinking to make it much more successful, such as you have not only much more successful in return, but also much more success in terms of getting drugs accessible for the patient. So that's the company that will invest, and with a new way and a foundation. So you have the profit part. It already having an impact on the society because it is healthcare, because with this new way of investing, it will give more drugs accessible to the patient, but also on the foundation is to do even more as getting an impact on the society. And the foundation here is a continuity of WIV as well, because the foundation is to mentor, coach, and finance women that are driving medical innovation, all type of medical innovation from biotech, medtech, e-health. And here, when I say it's a step further, compared with with, is that here it's to go more about the mentoring, the coaching. With is about sharing between peers in a way. Here it's to do more, to accelerate more, to go in university all over the world and to help women to be entrepreneurs and to translate their innovation into, you know, reality. And it's with this not-profit approach, we will help to give finally benefit for the patient without thinking about return on the first stage, at least. So that's about JATO, you know, with a fund and foundation, and really to do much more with another scale. So, and with these women that will be helped a lot by WITH and also the company part of JATO to grow themselves and their talents through great new innovation.
Well, it's so inspiring to hear an entrepreneur start one organization with great goals, and there's so much collaboration and what comes out of that, and then to move it into this next realm of investment and coaching and mentoring. It's so important. I wonder, how do you scale all of this? What kind of a team or teams do you have in place?
So indeed, and thank you for asking that, because it's one of the most important when I say rethinking about how to not only invest, but approach the innovation in healthcare. Again, it is complicated. It is long. So how to improve that instead of having venture capitalists starting companies or helping initial company, but then very rapidly, you know, stopping because they need to sell rapidly and also because they are working with small team and not very multi-talented and only investor, pure investor, and not also very much in a collaborative way. So here in JATO, the whole JATO structure, we are 11 people actually on the company side, and we are coming from different parts of the industry. Again, here, let's improve, let's save time, let's decrease risk and do the best. How to make the ecosystem the best one with experienced people right away. And these people, they have to, you know, work, and we are already working in a collaborative manner. What does that mean? That finally it's about collective intelligence instead of being individual success. And I think in VC's old model, you have, or, you know, old school model, you have a lot of men that are really very much working in this individual success. And I think it's why women are also bringing that a much collaborative way to work, which is much more beneficial for every stakeholders finally.
Excellent. So I'm just going to, Raphael, before we roll into segment two, I just want to talk a little bit about our sponsor. Have you ever heard of a company called Preptish? They're a startup.
Okay, so we would love to hear more from you.
All right, well, I'm definitely happy to share. So, and share my experience too with Preptish. They're a subscription-based meal planning service that saves you time and actually helps you make your dinners more appealing. So for me, Prep just kind of removes that question at the dinner hour. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs go through this. It's, what are we having for dinner? And whenever you hear that question at 5 o'clock, you're kind of feeling like, oh, you should know the answer. And I also remember the days of, oh no, we're not going to have that again, are we? So Prep Dish kind of takes all of that away. Let me tell you a little bit how it works. Every week, you receive a weekly meal plan with a grocery list, and you know up front all of the ingredients that you need to get when you prep for the week. And after you go shopping, you just set aside 2 or 3 hours to prepare everything in advance. So that means prepping on a Sunday, if you did that, you'd be set up for an entire week of meals. And if you think about it, your meals just got easier. Mine did. You're saving time and you're much more efficient in the kitchen too. And that's something that I wasn't before. So with my crazy schedule, I let Preptish do the planning for me. But here's the best part. It's that our sponsor, Preptish, is giving Women Worldwide listeners a fantastic offer. And you can go to preptish.com/worldwide and get 2 free weeks of Preptish. Try it. I know you're going to love it. PrepDish.com/worldwide. I'm excited for our listeners to try PrepDish because it's so easy. Now let's get back to our discussion. So Rafael, we were just chatting about healthcare innovation, your nonprofit with and JATO. And I kind of want to round out our discussion a little bit with maybe a future forward-looking question, and probably a tough one, but what do you think is the future of women and healthcare innovation?
Clearly, women are key, as I mentioned, since the time of the time. But there are more and more data about the importance of having women in healthcare organizations. For example, when you have publication in science in healthcare, so clearly the first part of the innovation, if you have in the author women, at least one, and even if she's the first author, you will have better outcome of the study because they will think differently. They will see, when I say differently, is that they will see much more broader. They will include different type of diversity, men, women, but not only, because they will think like that. And when you don't have any women in some publication and some studies, experimental studies in science, you may lose some of the important outcome because men won't, for example, even do a study, even in animals, with a female. So there are some data that are very much interesting, I think, to make people listening to the fact that they should get more women in their team, in the driver's seat as well, for making it happening very well for, again, medical innovation and healthcare.
Yeah, just what you said about how you're missing out on important outcomes if you don't include women. We certainly can't afford to be doing that in healthcare. We're talking about patients and disease. So it really seems like including women and having this diversity is really important to the studies and the work that's being done. So thank you for that. Thank you for pointing that out. I would like to pivot a little bit more towards you as a leader of women, empowering them for innovation in healthcare. Maybe you could just share, what have you learned over the past 10, 15 years that you want to share with everybody?
So many, many things. And you don't think you are a leader. I think a leader, even what does that mean? It's what I realized only recently. It's to get certain freedom, or not a certain freedom, to really apply your leadership, but to finally get things going on and happening. It's not only the way you want, because I think women are, again, very collaborative. So it's really to make things moving with a collective intelligence to make things happening the best and not to think about just your personal, success. It's more about personal development to the, to the benefit of everyone. So I think I don't answer precisely to your question because it's more about really trying to not to listen, not to take in account the fact that we have to do much more as a woman compared with a man at the same, level and the same organization. We have to do more than that. And let's really try to forget about that, to move forward and to do finally and to achieve our goals. And I think as a woman, something that is often, or at least for me, it was that we are, as we have more of this collaborative, way of thinking and working together, because what we want is results. We are not in the, conflict, but again, to move forward. And sometimes we adjust ourselves in organization, which is good to make things moving. But at some point, let's be careful, and it will be my recommendation to other women, if I may, let's be careful not to contortion ourselves to just to make it happen and then, taking from us something that is then negative. So let's respect ourselves. Let's believe in ourselves, because and let's not listen to this difference that we, you know, because you are a woman, you won't be listened the same initially.
Do you think that's hard for women in healthcare to do, to not listen and to not be conditioned, as you said? Is that probably one of the biggest hurdles?
Oh, yes, clearly that is the biggest hurdle. It's listen, and also with some, this take you to some image, and that's difficult. So my way of counterpassing that is really, let's not, it's like a mountain. Let's not look at the mountain, let's go forward. And the same here, because otherwise, if you pay too much attention to the differences they think we have, or because we should be not taking in account, like in publication I mentioned just earlier, then we will never make things happening and changing. So that's what we try with is to really help each other. Even these women are very accomplished into it. We need support. We need to, you know, to share the fact that we are as good, even better than other men, and helping. No, really,
it's better, even better.
That's even
a good
better
way to condition ourselves. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, but it's true, and at least not always. It's like we are giving justification. Let's not justify ourselves. We are there because we deserve, and let's move on.
That's right. We're all deserving. Women, men, working together, right? We're in this together. I like that. I like that a lot. This collective intelligence. Mm-hmm. Who do you think has influenced you the most in your career?
That is coming to a very personal question then, because the first person I'm thinking of is my father, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Even he's not there anymore since 7 years now, but he's there because he's, in a way, he grew me up more as a boy. When I say as a boy, it's just please don't be dependent of anyone and have the choice. Always get the choice. So that has influenced me a lot, because when you fight a lot to get the choice, sometimes you cannot, but if you I've been lucky to be to get a great education and some means, such as I've been to great schools. So let's work hard to get the choice, but also really being independent of any man. So that was really something, I mean, sorry, it's super personal, but that's something who helped me all along, because being free, being independent is how we will really apply our leadership, but in the not just to be, the boss or the, it's not a question about that. It's really, again, to make things happening. And it's why I left my previous firm, a VC firm, even I became a managing partner and deputy CEO. I had been recruited by the people who I'd been partnered and with the people who recruited me. But at some point it was I felt that I cannot have any more impact. I was very, really very good provider in the investment side, but in terms of growing, in terms of making things evolving, and it's not that I was thinking of me, I was really thinking of the whole firm. So at some point, you need to become independent. And at that point, my father was there, he was still not anymore, but really, okay, you have to be independent. So I think that's what helped me. And again, you asked me the question, my father.
There are some big takeaways. Your father sounded like a fantastic influence. Work hard to get the choice. I'm sure listeners are out there thinking about that. And being independent does mean being free. And I love that you said it's not about being the boss. That's not it. You always go back to the outcome and the importance and the results of what you're doing. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm sure if you're a VC, you are out there, you're networking. What does networking look like for you today? Are we talking online, in person, social media? Maybe you can paint a picture for us.
Yeah, so indeed, networking is key, I think, in any industry and role, but particularly as an investor and a VC, because you have to interact and work with many type of stakeholders, you know, from the scientists to the other type of investor, bankers, pharma, biotech, so in healthcare area. So network is very, very important. And it's all about people in addition. So the investment I've made had been always about betting on the right entrepreneurs. And clearly it's and particularly on women, but not enough. It's why, you know, doing more with and with the foundation. So networking, very important. I'm a strong believer still, maybe because I'm not young enough, but I'm still a strong believer into, you know, meeting in person. Meeting in person is what we do with. There is some interaction through the social media, but actually not so much. They want really to meet. And when we organize an event, we have speakers or just one keynote speaker, but what they really like is a networking part, to meet, to, you know, exchange ideas, and then they will connect. So, and particularly because these women, in Wiz at least, they are very much, again, accomplished. So they don't really, they are not looking for a job. They are, so it's really about exchanging, sharing with generosity. So it's why face-to-face and meeting in person is very important. And I would say it's probably a particularity also of healthcare. In healthcare industry, you have people, women and men, but older than other industry. If you look at the tech, obviously, we are looking at innovation as well. So social media, I have to admit, not so much used, even though obviously part of us. But let's not replace the human contact, if I may say.
Well, I'm glad you said that. So I love social media. It does have a purpose, and it can help to raise awareness. But I always say social media is a way to get people from the virtual to the physical. And if you can start in the physical and meet people and then maybe connect and continue conversations, if you're in different parts of the world or the country, then social media is so good for that. What about you personally? How are you feeling about social media? Less about you as, you know, the medical doctor, PhD, and person who's behind these organizations, but just you personally, Raphael. Do you like social media?
I start to, again, it's more a tool, and it's, I like it. It's more that I would like much more time, and with, we would like more means actually to help on that. But even without talking about Wiz and just about me, yeah, of course I like social media, but I'm not the one who use it the most. But I think it's particularly, if I may, and here again, I'm going back to the patient, but I think for human health and patients, this is very useful. And what is going on, we know that, particularly with artificial intelligence, the fact that we will collect data from patient exchanging and having actually patient experts more and more, because they and I could imagine, I'm a doctor, so it's easy for me to say, let's let the control into the hands of the MD, but the patient, they want to know, and their family, they want to know more and more, and the exchange of experience, and that's very rich. Let's be careful not, obviously, to replace a medical doctor. It's not because I am a medical doctor. It's really fundamental. You know, there is something when you come into a room with a patient, you have, it's what I learned since the beginning as an MD, you have to look at him or her without looking at other things, meaning that there are symptoms that you will capture just looking at him or her before even starting the discussion with the patient. So I think there are things you cannot replace, but obviously sharing, and thanks to the social media, all this information between patients becoming more and more expert without, again, replacing the doctor, I think it will help a lot to save time for diagnostics, for example. So I didn't answer for me exactly about the use, but clearly I think it's super, super important.
I think you gave a great answer. You know, you pivoted to the role that social media, artificial intelligence plays with, you're a medical doctor, and knowing that you can know so much about a patient and be able to diagnose more quickly, but yet have the patient and families feel more comfortable because they can understand things as well based on the information that's shared. I think that makes for a better relationship. And let's face it, doctor or not, I mean, it is all personal what we do. So I like your answer. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and thank you. And I think women, they have, again, here an important role, you know, to transfer the information to help to this understanding, including in through the social media, clearly.
Yeah.
And you know, when we mention about publication and studies, I wanted to mention particularly a field, which is cardiology, actually, where the studies had been too much focus on men issues, because we know that men are first young at a younger age than women facing difficulties in cardiological defect or disease. But so women are there to really balance and rectify the fact that we could be sick as well. And with the social media, they will have an important role in this, again, collaboration between all the stakeholders.
Aren't the statistics higher for women having heart problems these days?
No, actually, they have actually lower problem up to the menopause, but then they are as at risk as men. But in the past, until recently, they were not considered so much because indeed the men are first to get these kind of problems. But then the women are catching up, unfortunately. So these kind of things, there is only in women health that men, they think only about the women. But, they.
Yeah. So how do you manage everything that you're doing? I mean, it sounds like you love your work, if you can call it that. But life in general, how are you balancing out your days?
I don't know if I balance so well. You know, it depends on the day, obviously. But it's not a balance, I would say. It's a coexistence. Mm-hmm. Whereas really, even they are separate, they are intricated. And yeah, it's so much part of my life than my children. I have two children are, so happy to see even with my new venture, Jato, they are super excited to hear about, and they are happy to get, accomplishing what I'm doing. Obviously, they are 14 and 18, so they could understand now, but I've not been perfect in the past, and it's more for me even today, because sometimes they need, say, particularly teenagers, they need that you are there, and if they want to speak, they speak, and, you cannot program when they want to speak. When they were younger, I probably missed several moments with them. They say they don't suffer about that, but that's
that's good. Well, I can certainly relate. I think I've missed a few things, but luckily no one has suffered. We're all okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you could just give some advice. I'd love to hear you give advice to other women leaders, whether it's in your own area or outside. There's lots of women worldwide listeners in all different fields. Maybe you could just share best approach to reaching goals and making a difference in this world.
I would just summarize with, fighting to get the choice, but your choice without justification, without contortion. You could adjust yourself, but go forward, get people around you, only the positive one. There is something always I'm thinking when I get partner or working with, or even in the personal life, is that, do you imagine yourself going to the war, to the battle with this person? And it's the way to see, are you going to be really with someone that will not go in the adverse camp, but also that will really partner with you. And I'm mentioning that because I think we cannot, even again, as a leader, we have to be a team and fight together. So that's, with my words, what I would like to say.
I think that's so important, because every person you put in on that team has to believe and have the same goals and purpose. And like you said, it's all about the choice and the fight that you'll do together. So I think that's really, really good advice. Rafael, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
So with association, with association.com, and with Jato, so there is a website now, and I'm very proud of the website, because it's www.jato.life. And it's not .com or .something, it's .life. And life about, we see life science, but life for life, partner for life. So so that's where we could you could find more information.
Terrific. Rafael, thank you so much for coming on the show. You shared a lot of really good insights and advice, and we're going to be watching to see what you do with and Jato. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Derde.
You're welcome. I also want to thank our PrepDish sponsor for helping out with this episode of Women Worldwide, and for their wonderful 2-week offer that you can take advantage of if you go to prepdish.com/worldwide. And thank you so much for helping to amplify the stories of the incredible women who are on the show. You're also helping to make a difference. We always want to hear your feedback. So please, if you have anything you want to share with us, rate us on iTunes, give us a shout out on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter. We love to hear from you. Okay, WW friends, till our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.